You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
I still can't really believe that happened yesterday, but I'm so happy that it did. Because that'll be a memory for a long, long time. High maintenance Ray Kardashian getting his valet, and because he was so close to the car, when it pulls up, it immediately synced into the Bluetooth.
The best part is the valet driver's like, "No, yeah, I'll answer the question.
I'm in here. Yeah, give Marner a lot of money.
Yeah, I'll give Marner what Matthews is looking at. Like, I don't know what happened yesterday. I don't know if Bobby Mack set off a fire. Like, it was trending last night. Marner, Matthews, Nylander. And I know the Kevin Hayes contract comes out, and I think people are like, well, what is Nylander's contract? Well, hold on a second. He's unrestricted. And I get it. That's rich for him.
I can't believe he got that much money.
I agree.
I can't believe
but
that.
But you shouldn't go, okay, well, that makes me Nylander.
You're right.
Look,
we got to stop with the Nylander connection.
Yeah.
Like, we got to stop. It's done now. The contract is done.
Exactly. You can't go, okay, well, this player got this, so that makes Nylander look. Nylander's was too much for him.
At the time. He wasted a year of his
career. Exactly.
He did, personally. Yeah. Now, the Leafs have to factor in to a certain extent. And we had those debates. Does he get a week? Does he get two? Does he get a month? Is it always all the way into the playoffs before the clock starts ticking?
Yeah.
Regardless, it never got going for him.
It didn't.
He threw away a season, and he got paid handsomely, and you can't do that in pro sports.
He makes $7 million a year, and he's going to have to earn it next year, and I think he will.
And I think he will.
I agree.
Exactly. Moving forward, I think William Nylander is going to be fine. But you're right. Man, are people on high alert in Toronto right now.
Well, I opened my Twitter page, and I was like, Marner's trending. Why is he trending?
Old Bobby Mack.
And I don't think
through the conversation, he was just kind of spitballing and, you know, talking about stuff that everyone talks about.
But he wasn't wrong, because he said, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm quite sure he said, if Rantanen signs for $9 million today, Marner's going to say, so what?
Exactly.
And vice versa.
Yeah. Like,
you know, they're not going to use exactly each other as comparables.
The point Bob was making was that RFAs, it has changed drastically.
Yes.
And the reps and the player, they determine their own comparables.
Yeah.
And he was talking about arbitration rights as well. Like, if you listen to the whole interview, Bob was talking about the history of arbitration rights and how originally, when players coming out of entry level, they didn't have arb rights. The owners and teams thought that was a win for them.
Right.
But now they're looking at it thinking it's a loss.
Yeah.
Because if there was arbitration, Mitch Marner is not going anywhere, and you're going to have a finite number.
Yeah, exactly. There it is.
Someone's going to determine it.
You get a
third party will determine it. But what Bob was saying was, now that that doesn't exist, Mitch Marner's going to say, I pick my comparables.
Right.
And the Leafs are going to say, well, no, we pick our comparables.
Right.
In the end, it's a game of chicken, and you got to find a way to get to the middle.
Exactly.
That's all Bob was saying.
And he wasn't wrong with that, because William Nylander dug in and did that. Like, I know we're talking about Toronto, but it may be the same case. You cannot tell me that all of these RFAs, Kyle Connor, Patrick Laine, Braden Point, Rantanen, Tkachuk, one of them's not going to start the season. One of them may dig in with their own respective organization.
Right.
Everyone's just pointing to, well, it's going to be Mitch Marner. It could be Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be Brock Besser.
Could be Sebastian Aho.
Exactly. Like,
could be Charlie McAvoy.
Like, we do not know. Now, there are some very high-profile RFAs, and that's now, it's no secret, you're getting paid for what you're going to do in your career, instead of at 31 looking back, and it's the career achievement contract, right?
Yeah. Thanks for giving us a couple of cups and a lot of great production and jersey sales.
That's how it shifted. That's the landscape of the National Hockey League. You can't be mad at it, because that's a CBA, and these players are going to use it to their advantage. Like, even if you look in hindsight, William Nylander really didn't do anything wrong. He used the CBA to his advantage. Do you dislike it if you're a fan and the management for the Leafs? Absolutely, because he did. Like, to your point, he missed a full season technically of his career right when the team probably could have needed him.
Absolutely.
And so
it was a mess.
It was. But
on both sides,
he's going to be fine. and he's going to get paid accordingly, and that's the marketplace. I know, like, the Hayes contract, like, it's $200,000 more than Nylander, but you can't compare the two other than Nylander's making less and he's a better player. Okay, great, but Hayes is unrestricted, and Philly traded for him. He kind of had him over a barrel.
Yeah, and Philly decided to pay him.
And Philly said that.
I don't blame any player for getting every penny you can.
Yeah.
That's the business that you're in. It is a business.
Yeah.
And that's what Mitch Marner is trying to achieve right now.
Correct.
And, you know, I wanted to get to this, and we might as well do it out of the gate, because, again, after the Bobby Mack comments and everyone going wild
like,
on social media.
Did you see the same thing?
I saw it everywhere. And then I've noticed other people have been commenting on it.
Right.
On, you know, with both companies are basically having to respond to what McKenzie had to say or what he was putting forth last night.
Right.
It goes without saying, we both love Mitch Marner as a player.
Yeah.
Like, everyone loves Mitch Marner as a player. Everyone wants him to be a Maple Leaf. He is entitled to representation. He's entitled to ask for whatever he wants.
Exactly.
He's not entitled to get whatever he wants, but he's entitled to ask for whatever he wants.
Right.
But I want to go through this list, okay? And we'll do some rapid firing. We haven't done a rapid fire in quite some time. Basically, a yes or no.
Okay.
I've decided to come. I went through the list. Now, I might be missing a couple of
RFAs?
Players. No.
Okay.
Let me explain how we're going to do this.
Sure.
I focus on the forward position, because it gets complicated when you start comparing forwards to defensemen and to goaltending. Based on who they are, what they are, what they're going to project to be, the importance of each position, how much they play. So I have focused it down. I got about 20 guys here league-wide.
Okay.
Forwards in the National Hockey League. Forwards you would take over Mitch Marner on your team for the next 8 years. That's the max contract Mitch Marner can get. Okay? Not about salary, not about at what price. We're talking simply who the player is.
Okay.
Okay, who you like as a player. So I'll go down this list. Some of them are going to be obvious yeses. I think some of them will probably be obvious nos.
Yes. And
there's going to be a middle ground.
There'll be some gray area where you're like, yeah, I
exactly.
could take
that.
And
that's why I'm trying to put this into perspective. Again, this isn't a shot at Marner. We love Mitch Marner. So, he's a top 50 player in the league.
Right.
He's probably a top 30 or 40 player
in the league. So to clarify, then there's no age, no nothing. Like, it's just...
Well, age has to come in because we're talking about for the next 8 years.
Okay, so you did...
Who the player is and what his age is.
Okay.
Yeah, not his salary cap and all that.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And again, not for the next two or three, for the next eight.
Okay.
So you got to think about the length of the 8 years. Who would you rather have at the forward position over the next 8 years, Mitch Marner or Austin Matthews?
And that, honestly, that's a...
I'm taking Matthews.
I'm saying it. It's
tough.
Out of the gate, it's pretty tough.
They're both great players, and they're in the same ballpark.
I'll say Austin, center position and goal score. So,
and same age.
Yeah, but same age, but there's going to be a year where Austin gets 50. I don't ever see Mitch Marner getting 50. I see him get 100 points, but I'll go with Austin.
I would go with Austin Matthews. John Tavares.
Marner... Based on it, like, again,
his age.
I'm coming back to age.
And counts.
But I'll be honest, and I thought of this driving in today because Corey Perry got bought out. That may be John Tavares.
In
at that
year
age.
Five and six, it could be.
Yeah.
The wheels fall off, a couple injuries.
If it doesn't,
it could be.
And I'm not trying to be negative
you
towards
hope not,
him. I'm just saying, like, when those long term contracts get handed out, the first 3, 4, 5 years maybe look decent, but the last couple years, and then you hope that the sports science and Tavares' dedication to the game. So, but anyways, I'll just, because of the age, I think Mitch, I'll give
I would
Mitch.
Take Marner as well. I would take Marner because of the age. I think, you know, Tavares has the capability of scoring a lot of goals like we just saw. He had 47. He plays a more primary position of importance. But I think Marner factored in significantly to that goal scoring.
And he drives the line too. You have to
absolutely
respect that.
He's younger. He kills penalties really well. I'll take Marner. Nikita Kucherov. For 8 more years.
I'm taking Kucherov. I'm taking Kucherov every day of the
week. I'm taking Kucherov over Marner.
Yeah.
Kuznetsov.
I like Kuznetsov.
I do too, but I'd take Marner for the same reasons as he's the same age as Tavares. I believe he's 27.
Yeah, I'd have to.
You know,
so he is 27?
Yeah, he's 27. He gets the luxury of playing with Ovechkin, but Ovechkin gets the luxury of playing with him too, but I would take Marner.
Yeah, okay.
I think Marner's going to be more consistent. He's younger.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see.
Not a big difference right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But 8
like,
years,
yeah,
eight I'll take years the younger now. Guy. Pastrnak.
I like Pasta. I just, goal score, creativity. Like, I mean, they're close, but I still think Pastrnak,
personally. Yeah, I think I would take Marner, but they're so close. I think you're splitting hairs. Like, yeah. I think Pastrnak. Now, Marner's had the luxury of playing with Tavares, which is big, right, but Pastrnak also plays on the best line
and
in hockey.
And throw out money, right?
Yeah, it's not money or anything. Okay, yeah. It's just, but, you know, they're both young guys, though. They're both very, they're both effectively the same age.
It's close.
It's very close.
It's a coin flip.
I would slightly take Marner.
I'm on Pasta, but it's a coin flip.
Matthew Barzal.
Ooh, that one's spicy. That one's spicy.
Because he's a center, and he moves like Marner.
Player.
He's shifty like Marner. He's got vision like Marner.
Man. That one's, again, a coin flip. Like, you could take either or. I want to say, here's why I would say Barzal. The only reason being is he played center ice, and I think under Trotz, he's, like, I think he left some points on the table trying to be a better player
last
year.
Yeah, he did. Now, he's
Marner
still in high 60s,
I
think.
I know, but Marner may have done that, too. Like, he's actually, I don't know, and you said it, but I don't know if we give enough credit to Mitch Marner's effort in the defensive zone.
I think that goes a long way in why I would take Marner over... Okay.
Yeah, they're close.
Barzal, but they're so close. It's just like Pastrnak.
Yeah.
Again, we're going over this. Forwards in the NHL you would take if you're building a team for the next 8 years.
Yeah.
Mitch Marner compared to these individual players. Sebastian Aho.
I think Marner. I like Aho, but there's something. Maybe it's the marketplace. Maybe it's, you know, and I watch Carolina play a lot this year. I think Aho is a fantastic player, but I think Marner.
More dynamic.
Exactly. Another level.
Yeah, I'd take Marner.
I take Marner.
But it's close again. I mean, again, yeah. Aho, I don't think people in Toronto would understand that or recognize that. You look at Aho's numbers this year. He doesn't have nearly as much talent around him.
Right.
Like, Marner's feeding off the power play with Riley and Tavares and Matthews.
Aho at 83 points.
He's a great player.
And he's a fantastic player. But
I would slide Marner.
Yeah, I would too.
I think this will be a yes across the board. Barkov.
I'm taking Barkov, too.
For the next 8 years, I think Barkov is he's pushing up into the top 10 in the league right now.
And strong as a horse.
Plays big minutes. Center.
Yeah.
He's a true bona fide number one center.
Plus, he's a 90-point guy, too.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm taking Barkov. Yeah. Panarin.
Marner.
I'd take Marner as well.
I think Panarin is quite one-dimensional, too.
Yeah.
Panarin looked good in the playoffs, but I think he needs... Where Mitch, I think you could put different line mates with him and he'll have success. Where I think Panarin needs a certain type of player to play with.
I would lean Marner.
I'm leaning Marner.
I agree with you. Yeah. Jack Eichel. That's a spicy meatball.
I got to be honest, but I've always been like this. I've been an Eichel fan since I watched him at the World Juniors.
I think he gets hurt because of the team he plays on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waiting for that team to break loose. I'm waiting for him to break loose.
I think he's a fantastic player. I'm personally leaning Eichel. And I wouldn't have a problem. Again, it's...
They're so close, but I would take Eichel because of the position.
Center position.
And I think he can score 40.
And he's big and strong, too. Like, this kid can skate. He's got a shot on him.
Yep.
Marner's more creative, but Eichel is a horse.
Taylor Hall.
That's interesting.
I would take Marner because of age. I mean, Hall's got that MVP season, which was an unbelievable season. Beyond that, I think he's... He's a mid-30s, mid-60s kind of guy. If he played with better competition.
Yeah, Taylor is 25 or 6.
Feels older than that. I guess he's been around for a long time. But
well, that's what it is. He's been around for...
But if we're talking the next 8 years, I would take Marner.
He's 27. I'm close on that one.
He's in that Kuznetsov, Tavares kind of category for me. We're talking 8 years. I would take the 21 or 22-year-old because I think they're in the
close,
similar.
Like
similar
for me, it's a
production.
Coin flip. Like honestly,
yeah,
that
so I'll
one,
take the younger guy.
I'll do the JFJ. Like
can't confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
All right, so this will be the end for the East. We'll save the West for a little bit later on. This is one that I've been thinking long and hard of all day. Sidney Crosby.
Well, for 8 years, though.
I think I'd take Sid, though, because he's 31. I think Sid is going to be unbelievable for the next 6 or 7 years. He's so dedicated to the game.
Yeah.
I think even when he's 38 or 39, I think he'll be a 70-point two-way guy.
You and I have always been consistent.
I got to take Sid.
But we've always been consistent that we believe Sid will play until his late 30s.
I think
40.
He will.
I believe
he loves
that
the
too.
Game. He's so committed to the game.
Oh, doesn't? But I think you and I have been on the same page because Sid is, he's a hockey rat. Like, he's a guy who lives and
breathes
it. And if the game changes, he changes with it. So I agree. I think Sidney Crosby, because the minute that people start to go, yeah, he's lost a step, he's this and that, he's going to find a way to adapt, like Chara, like some of these older players that are still very effective at their age. So yeah, you're right. I'm not as slam dunk, but I am. It's Sid for me.
I got too much time and respect for him. And again, I think he will be fully committed.
Yeah.
And a gym rat, and he loves the game, and he's going to want to continue to dominate and be.
Yeah.
I don't see him slowing down even for another 8 years.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think he's going to have a 20 year impeccable career.
Yeah.
And that's who he is, and that's how great of a player he is. So that's just putting it into perspective again. Forwards in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Forget McDavid, who's an obvious one out west. Yeah. Scheifele and McKinnon. I mean, there's a bunch out west.
Dreisaitl. Like, there's some, there's going to be some.
And Marner's a great player. He's in these conversations. But sometimes you got to look at a compare and contrast to really get an idea of where he is and who he is.
You're right. But then you're going to go, okay, that guy's on a team-friendly contract. Now you're going to start. See, the beauty of it is you just look at the player.
Yeah.
And the age.
Which is what I wanted to do, because I think people are so sick and tired of the calculator coming out in every conversation. Let's just have a hockey conversation. Who is this player compared to other great players?
But you said it the other day when the Raptors won. We've always been a manager at heart as fans.
Yep.
What's Kawhi going to do? What, you know, was Danny Green coming back? Like, all of that. Same thing here. You don't just look at a player. Like, Philadelphia felt that Kevin Hayes was a big part of, going to be a part of the, so they overspent on a player. But if it works for Philadelphia, they don't care. If they make it work in their cap, but everyone on the outside is like, man, that's rich. Yeah, including myself.
I can't believe he got that deal. Good for him.
But like, that's...
It also comes down to desperation and where they're looking at it clearly. They think that's exactly what they need.
Yeah.
They feel good with Couturier. They feel good with, they're top heavy and they need some depth.
Drew, Couturier, and Hayes, and you've got...
That Nolan Patrick kid.
Well, and the Patrick's a fantastic player. You went and made two, I would say, pretty significant moves on the back end with Niskanen and Justin Braun. There's one other move. Am I missing? Or maybe there's just those three so far. But Chuck Fletcher has been quite proactive. Phillies, I don't want to say they're all in, but they're very proactive to at least be a playoff team next year.
Yeah, and I guess they're going with the young goaltender. And that's,
well, Hart can play.
Carter Hart's going to be their guy.
They need a mentor there. They need something like a McElhinney who can take 20 to 30 games off of him, but also mentor him. That's why they traded for Talbot, because him and Talbot are kind of buddies. And I just don't know if Talbot is going to return there. They may look somewhere else, but Hart's their guy, and Hart's a stud. He's a young Carey Price, a young Vasilevsky. Like, he's got that ability. Now he's got to prove it.
Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Raptors, is going to join us at 4:30.
Guitar guy.
The guitar guy himself. Wonder if you can play guitar with a championship ring.
Yeah.
You got to ask him that.
Depends on,
if you've got it on,
Well, if it's on his strumming hand, that's fine.
That would actually look unreal. But yeah, if it's on his,
picking hand.
Picking hand. That's going to be a bit of a problem.
Nah, he won't play it with, but.
We'll ask him that.
Of course we will.
This is going to be a great interview. He's getting a ring. We've debated a lot who's getting a ring and who isn't.
Yes.
I can tell you the head coach is getting a ring.
He's getting a ring. He's right at the top of the pecking order.
That is a guarantee. So we'll catch up with the head coach of the championship Raptors at 4:30. All right, Nick Nurse will join us in about 5 minutes. We're looking forward to catching up with him. Every other time we interviewed him, he was just a regular coach in the NBA. He wasn't a champion coach.
Now he is, yes, NBA champion.
He's a pretty low-key guy. I mean, I don't know how he's going to handle the attention, because...
he's getting a lot of attention, but, like, man, Kawhi Leonard's another level. But
there are people just following him around. The videos of him in Niagara Falls were incredible.
But what did he expect?
That's the truth. Like, Kawhi, everyone in the country knows who Kawhi Leonard is. Everybody, and everybody loves Kawhi Leonard.
But, like, he has the ability, and this probably speaks to his personality, he could have probably called ahead and had a security team or had some sort of, like, you know, private tour, so he doesn't just have to be walking down the street with his family.
Someone wrote in yesterday saying, I saw him, I was in Niagara Falls, there was no security or anything.
Just like, hey, this
guy's bombing around in his New Balance gear.
And he's like pictures. At a gift shop. Like, yeah. I get it, and I actually think it's amazing, but the only thing that scares me about that of him is he's such a private person. He may be looking around going, I don't know if I can handle this.
Well,
he's not going to get that in L.A.
No, I don't think he will in L.A. Like, when you consider the reaction you get in L.A., you got to be A-list celebrity. Right. Now, if you want a title in L.A., like, I would think LeBron James, I don't know if he gets mobbed necessarily, but I would think there's some people following him around. People would be taking their pictures all the time.
Exactly. Like, they're...
Like, you just have to live with that reality.
They're stars, but I think Kawhi would be able to at least fade into the background a little bit in the L.A. market, whereas here...
Right now, it's impossible.
He just delivered a championship. Like, there's no way he's leaving his house without that type of attention. So, you know, the fact that... And I don't know what other video is circulating. It's, you know, people were saying it was at his daughter's private school. I don't know if that's true or not.
But there's a swarm of people following him.
And yelling and screaming. And
yeah. Now, I think by all accounts, everyone's being cool. Like,
yeah,
they're just they're showing love to Kawhi
excited.
Leonard. And they want him to know that, hey, we're here for you.
Yeah.
What I think would get old quickly would be the guys that would be trying to sell him on Toronto.
Yeah, you stay.
Hey, you
got to
stay,
yeah,
bro. Yeah, it's like, yeah, thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah, okay. I'm going to meet with Masai later. Do you have time to join us? Because I could really use your input on this whole pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the amount of people that must be stopping him saying, you got to stay.
You got to stay.
Or, hey,
yeah,
if you stay, you know, I'll hook you up.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to hook me up? How are you personally going to hook me
up? But
this
is, even people offering, like, free things, like, he's going to make
$40 million
a year.
Right. And it's not his thing. He doesn't, if we picked up on anything about Kawhi Leonard, being materialistic is nowhere near his...
Yeah.
Lexicon.
You don't see, like, he's not draped in jewelry.
No, he's got no interest in it.
Like, he's not, you know, he doesn't walk into the rink with the flash and dash, the suits and everything. You know, top hat. You see, a lot of guys are very creative with their outfits.
Someone
rolls in.
Someone texting in with a very good point. He's like, how many times did we see these videos during the year? Zero times.
Yeah.
And he's right. I don't remember seeing a video of Kawhi in 8 months. He's been here since September. I don't ever remember seeing a video go viral. Hey, you know, Kawhi's at Yorkdale.
Yeah.
Or Kawhi's walking down Yonge right now.
But that's what I asked that question yesterday. Like, you heard, and on a smaller scale, Phil Kessel had a favorite Italian joint right by where he lived. You know, Funuf, same thing. Like, you know, I'm sure Batista had a same,
of course.
A little watering hole that he hung out at. Where was Kawhi Leonard?
Nothing. I'm sure there is one. There has to be something he would do on the regular.
It wouldn't surprise me if he lived more north in North York. Like, he went to a place like Gabby's on Avenue or whatever. Like, just a little watering hole.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that would be great.
That's what I, you know.
Just a little shack somewhere.
The stars I played with always hid at little watering holes so that people would just leave them alone.
There's a famous place in London where the Beatles used to go. And I went there when I was in London years ago. And it is a hole in the wall.
Right.
There's a bar and maybe four stools.
Yeah.
But it was tucked away down an alley.
Yeah.
And they'd go there because no one would bother them.
Yeah,
no one
exactly.
knew it even existed. Just the regulars. And they're like, hey, what's up?
Well, Nick Nurse.
They didn't even care.
He's going to have to
Nick
start
Nurse
hiding
needs
in
his
this
own
city.
Place to hide.
Exactly.
Because, again, like we've been saying, every time we've interviewed him in the past, he's just been regular NBA head coach.
Yeah,
now
head
he's
coach.
Champion
exactly.
NBA head coach. Here's Nick Nurse. How you doing, Nick?
I'm good, guys. What are you talking about?
Just you being a champion, man. How many selfies have you had to take over the past 3 or 4 days?
A few here and there, but it's okay, man. Everybody's excited. It's great, man. Everybody's happy, and I'm happy too. So we'll selfie away here for a while.
Yeah, you might
down.
Take advantage of it, right? I mean, take us back to the parade for a minute, because we were down there, but we were at Nathan Phillips Square waiting for you guys. The pictures, the video, I'm not sure it can do justice. What was it like being on top of one of those buses?
Well, I was in a like a truck, you know, one of those Raptor trucks. Mm-hmm. Well, what was it like? It was slow moving. It was exciting. There was at times when it was the cheering was almost deafening when you'd get between, you know, I don't know, under a bridge or something, it was something. And I think it seemed like it was just growing and growing by the minute, because I think the length of it and the weather was awesome, and I think people were seeing it on TV and were like, I gotta go down there and be a part of it, and it just kept growing. It was something to be a part of, that's for sure.
With Nick Nurse here on Overdrive, obviously there were a lot of incredible moments throughout the playoff run, but if there was only one moment you can take, one moment that you can preserve and cherish for the rest of your life, which moment would that be?
Man, I mean, you got to go all the way to the end, right? I think, you know, just when the buzzer sounds and you get to go hug your family and you kind of the relief that, you know, the work's over for a while, because it was a long grind of just kind of constantly being energetic enough to go do the job every second of the day, you know, and that's some relief to get a season over with. And when you get a win, it's obviously more enjoyable for the summer. But there was a ton of little cool moments like that, you know, that were, you know, really special.
Were there times during this run where you had to take a step back and maybe enjoy a little bit, but you allowed your mind to, I guess, take you to the place at the end? I know in hockey, no. I made it to the second and third round, but I never made it to the finals and won. But there were times where you sit back and dream and think, geez, what if? Were there times through this run that you actually had to stop yourself?
No, I had to stop myself from going to those places. I think it was pretty easy. The team was never getting ahead of themselves. We did have a, you know, we played from behind a lot in the series, so we were just trying to get the next one to get some momentum back a lot, you know what I mean? There was a time, I think 3-2, when we went up 3-2 on Milwaukee, and we were coming back home for game 6, that's when I really warned them about getting ahead of themselves, because that was the time I think everybody was like, oh my God, we're up 3-2, we're going to the finals. We've never been to the finals. And I did meet with the team and tell them, hey, everybody's going to be taking you someplace or trying to take you someplace that you're not at yet. And we've got to guard against that. You know, there's going to be lots of pats on the back. We're coming back from a road game. We got a home game. And we can't let it soften us up or zap our energy. Let's use our energy the way we need to and keep focused. And it was a little easier than maybe, well, not easy. It wasn't easy, but getting ahead of ourselves wasn't that big a problem. Let's put it that way.
With Raptors head coach Nick Nurse. Well, that's always interesting to me, you know, playing that mental game, because I think on one hand, you want to have confidence you can get there. I don't think dreaming about it is a bad thing. So how do you kind mm-hmm. of, you know, dance along that tightrope where you allow yourself to dream and be ambitious, yep. but also not get too carried away?
Well, I think for sure you dream about it. I've probably been dreaming about it for a lot of years, to be honest. You know, when I was coaching a small college in Iowa, I used to get in my car and drive over and watch Jordan's Bulls teams play in the finals, you know, buy a standing room only ticket from a scalper outside and, you know, watch the game and, you know, and watch them celebrate or watch these awesome, you know, the atmosphere and all that stuff was awesome. And, you know, get back in my car and drive home for 4 hours or so. And, you know, that soaks in and you're thinking, man, it'd be really cool to do that someday. So I think you dream about it, but I think you're right. The most interesting part about it is like when you're right in the middle of it, or for me anyway, you are like enclosed in it a little bit. And you probably heard me say this a lot. I purposely thought part of my job was to not, you know, watch TV and listen to any reports or listen to the radio or read about our team, good or bad. I didn't really want it to deter me or take any energy or spend any time on that because there was enough to focus on, which was trying to get the next game and make sure our guys were in a good place mentally, you know?
Is there a guy on the team that you leaned on a little bit to kind of get your message across, maybe a veteran guy or somebody that we wouldn't know about that had that type of leadership qualities that kind of exuded through the room?
I mean, this was a heavily laden veteran team and a lot of guys with unique leadership qualities. So, I think all of us benefited from Kwai's even keeled demeanor, myself included. I think everybody benefited from Kyle's tenacity and just how hard he played. I think that transcended to players. Gasol had his kind of stoic, tough moments. Serge gave a couple unbelievable team speeches to guys that were, you know, grand slams. They were just right on time and perfectly delivered and just what we needed. You know, Freddie Van Fleet. I mean, there's Freddie Van Fleet with his play and courage and guts and all that stuff. I think there was a lot of guys. So, and it took all of us. It took all the staff and all the players and everybody chipping in and the energy channeled in the right way. And I think when it got unchanneled, we rechanneled it quickly. So it was collective effort for sure.
With Nick Nurse here on Overdrive, at any point during the playoff run, did you guys feel like underdogs? Can you think of a time where you're like, okay, we're up against it here, we're an underdog now?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we ever felt we weren't good enough to beat who we were playing, right? That's a pretty big statement. Let me just back up a little bit on that. I think we thought we could beat everybody when we were in the East, okay? And we did have a tremendous respect for them, and we knew we had to play. And once we kind of unleashed our defensive, just the way we started playing defense, game two against Orlando, our guys and next day I met with them and said, listen, if we're going to play defense like that, we can go anywhere we want to go. And I think that was a really big springboard to the rest of the playoff run, because we played defense pretty darn good most nights from then on out. And it was that kind of realization of playing that hard, being that connected, and executing the game plan that well. Coach might be right. We might be able to go anywhere we want to go. Now, I think when you win the East and get to Golden State, and this is their fifth finals, and it's a dynasty and stuff, you know, you've got to immediately decide, okay, do you think you're good enough to beat these guys? And that was, again, something we talked about immediately. I addressed it kind of like I used football, American, you know, football, NFL and college football. I said the Patriots are in the Super Bowl every year. And I told them I thought, you know, there's some teams that give them way too much respect and they're beat before they take the field. But I gave them some examples. The Philadelphia Eagles went in there and, you know, kick their butt, and Clemson, you know, dethroned Alabama and kicked their butt. And that's, you know, we got to go in there. We don't care that these guys are a dynasty. We got to figure out if we can take it to them, you know, right from game one. And I think our guys, again, felt that and, you know, exuded that, you know, right from game one.
With Nick Nurse here on Overdrive, is there any particular adjustment or tactical decision you made against Golden State that you're most proud of?
It's a good question. I would say this. I think that it's hard to think of just one. I know everybody talks about the box and one. They were chanting box and one. It was great in the parade. I was getting a group of 50 guys chanting box and one, and then 50 people right next to him going, what's a box and one?
You should have yelled back, it's a janky defense. It's a janky defense.
I got some of that, too. They were yelling, it isn't a janky defense or something. Right. They were chanting that, too. But I mean, everybody talks about that, and that's okay. It's kind of cool, right, that nobody's probably played that in the finals ever or in an NBA game for a long time. And it's not, to me, it's not that big a deal because the game was, we were in trouble when I went to it. It was just, we couldn't get the game under control. And I presented it to the team and Kyle looked at it, you know, I kind of positioned, this is where everybody's going to be. And they all like, yeah, man, let's do it. And so that makes it easy as a coach. You know, they accept it and say, we'll go do it. And they went out and did it really well. But there's so many little adjustments going on. I mean, in each game, you know, you're a timeout. One of the things we were doing at some of the timeouts is we were totally switching who was guarding who, just for the sake of it, just because we thought they would be running a certain action, and all of a sudden it didn't look the same as they thought it was going to look because we had three guys guarding totally different guys, or we would do a riskier coverage out of a timeout, you know, like maybe switch Gasol on to Steph Curry, which you'd be saying, geez, you don't want to make a habit of that very often, but we'd do it anyway just to kind of throw their whole little line of thinking off, and some of that stuff was working really well.
Well, we'll get you out of here on this question because it's the one that is important for us, and we really want to know an answer to it. What's it going to be like playing the guitar with a championship ring on? Have you thought of that yet?
I don't think that's going to be possible. You ever see those championship rings, man? They're like furniture.
Yes, they are.
You can't wear them. They're like things you got to put on your desk. I'll put it next to the elephant on the desk. How
there
about
you
that?
Go.
Well, I'm not sure if you're aware that you actually quoted that you were going to come up and play in studio with us if you did win that said championship.
We haven't forgotten about that.
Yeah.
I lost it.
Bad connection. We'll send you an email so you don't have to
flush
it.
Exactly.
Well, congratulations on what was an incredible run. And enjoy the summer. I'm sure you will. And I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road. Thank you for this.
Thanks, guys.
There's Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
Championship head coach and guitar player.
Great spirits. And he should be.
He's in a good mood. He should be in a good mood. That was fun, man. He brought us kind of behind the scenes of a lot that was going on. And
I thought that was very interesting that he said that they would just mess with the defensive coverage out of timeouts just to mess with Steve Kerr.
Absolutely. So Kerr, they're probably, even the players are like, wait a minute, what's this guy doing on me?
Why is Gasol on
Steph
Kerr?
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
those little moments, man, that, again, it all adds up. And
well, and it works to a point, and even if it just works for one play, all of a sudden it gets in the mind of your opponent. So very creative, certainly deserved to win, and you know, I've always liked his demeanor. Like, right from day one, we had him in studio, I think, was it the day after?
Right after he got hired.
Named coach, and very affable, very...
He was talking about his love of music. We didn't know he was playing a guitar at that point. I don't think he even brought that up. But, you know, he said, again, he had to delay the interview with Masai because he was going to some concert somewhere. And, he's a lifer. Like, I found it interesting. He said, when I was coaching at Iowa, I wasn't making any money. I'd drive 4 or 5 hours up to Chicago when the Bulls were in the finals.
That's where
he was buying tickets off scalpers. Yeah. Now he's winning titles in the NBA.
But that's where, you know, in his mind, he's like, I'm going to be down there someday. Like,
which you got to appreciate that journey.
It is. And it's because it wasn't handed to him. He had to go work for it. Like, we can't, as much as we love Dwayne Casey, and we did, and this guy won Coach of the Year.
Yep.
Nick Nurse, you know, it's tough to shuffle just to the left. To one chair over.
Oh, it was a gamble.
I've seen...
One of the many gambles.
But I've seen in hockey, assistant coaches try and take over as a head coach. It doesn't work. Because you've been good guy. Instead of bad cop, you've been good cop. And now all of a sudden you have to be bad cop and kick a little ass. And the players are like, I remember you last year.
Interesting because I think, I'll bet you Nurse benefited greatly from roster turnover. Because of that. Kawhi Leonard didn't know him as an assistant coach. Danny Green, Marcus Gasol. Siakam was a guy who didn't have the right to say, hey, who are you?
Exactly.
Step aside. He was still growing as a player and trying to establish himself.
Yeah.
And ultimately, Lowry was the guy that had to eventually say, I'm in.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of the debate coming into the season, the attitude of Lowry. Will he be able to accept all this change? And he did. And obviously it worked out, and now they're champions, and they get to live with that the rest of their lives.
Agreed.
Ray Ferraro will join us just after 5. Jerry's percentages. Jerry, I believe, is Traveling. Where is Jerry
today?
Well,
he's traveling to Vegas for the awards.
That's right. Yes, he's mid-flight, so I think he sent us an email. Yeah. Jerry is not here today. But
not in the building.
We'll still get to the percentages. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us in about 15 minutes. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. We'll get into Marcus Stroman's comments post-game last night. He knows the writing's on the wall. I mean, he's not a dumb guy.
Yeah.
He gets it. So we'll touch on that a little bit later on. We're giving away another pair of tickets to see the Rolling Stones.
That'll
as well.
Cool.
You got to tune in to find out how and when you can win those.
Did I see some ridiculous Blue Jay stat? Was it like dash 81 or something?
Well, it was an Edwin Jackson, or not, yes, an Edwin Jackson specific stat. Okay, so
somebody sent that, I think, to the Overdrive account.
They did. Rob Silver, who is a baseball guy, mm-hmm. tweeted this out. This was after a couple of nights ago when the Jays lost 10-5 to the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
The Jays have been outscored. Well, first of all, it was Keegan Matheson who originally tweeted this out, who's a Jays beat guy. Toronto has been outscored 72-30 in the seven games that Edwin Jackson have pitched in. And Silver points out, the Jays have a run differential of minus 84 this season. Half of that is in the games Jackson has pitched in.
Tonight was his seventh
start. He's minus 42 in run differential. Now, the veteran in him would be, hey, I'm not getting the run support here. Right. What do you want out of me? Come on now. But the truth of the matter is, it's an absolute disaster. And it's an embarrassment that they continue to pedal him out onto the mound every fifth day. Now, he's on the injured list now, so I don't know when he's going to return. But something's got to give. I get that you're tanking, it's a rebuild year, but you got to show respect for the sport at some point. You know, save us all.
Minus 81.
The misery of watching him pitch.
I saw that. I was like, oh, that's not good. And they're what, 21 games?
21 games under 500. They've lost six in a row at home. And I think it's only going to get worse because, again, Stroman's numbers have been great.
Yeah,
they're going to trade him, and Giles is going to get traded. And
Not good.
We'll touch on that with Steve Phillips later in the afternoon. Ray coming up in about 10 minutes. Jerry's percentages at 5:30.